Growers and farmers from around northern Minnesota have been invited to a free meeting at Central Lakes College in Brainerd on February 25th to find out about the potential of growing a new crop, hazelnuts. These are not the hazelnuts that lots of us find growing wild in our forests and fields. These are new hybrids that can be grown as a cash crop. On the phone to tell us more is Lois Brown, a research scientist at the University of Minnesota. Lois, thanks for talking with us this morning.
You're welcome.
Introduce us to this new improved hazelnut.
As I go around and meeting people, a lot of people tell me, oh, hazelnuts are my favorite type of nut. I love hazelnuts. And most of them are talking about European hazelnuts that, as their name implies, come from Europe. They grow mostly around the Mediterranean region of Europe, which, if you know anything about climate, you know that their climate is not anything like our climate. So the hazelnuts that you can find in grocery stores are most likely either imported from Europe or even Asia. A lot of them come from Turkey. Turkey is the world's leading grower of hazelnuts. Or they come from the Pacific Northwest, which has a Mediterranean-type climate. The largest grower of hazelnuts in the United States is Oregon. Those hazelnuts are not winter hardy in Minnesota, and likewise, they are highly susceptible to a disease called eastern filbert blight that is endemic to the eastern half of North America. So we've got European hazelnuts and American hazelnuts. The American hazelnuts are broadly distributed in the eastern half of North America, but they have much smaller nuts, proportionally thicker shells, but on the positive side, they are also resistant to eastern filbert blight and obviously adapted to the climate. There are actually two kinds of native hazelnuts in our region. There's the American hazelnut, and then there's the beaked hazelnut. And the beaked hazelnut has a husk, a very fuzzy husk with a long snout-shaped protuberance from it. We're not dealing with the beaked hazelnuts at all. So the hybrid hazelnuts that we're talking about are hybrids between the European hazelnuts and the American hazelnuts. They were hybridized to take advantage of the positive attributes of both kinds of hazelnuts. That is the winter hardiness and the disease tolerance of the native hazelnuts, combined with the larger nut size and greater shellability of the European hazelnuts. So the crosses were actually made back in the 1910s, 20s, and 30s by a lot of different people. But here in the Midwest, the most notable person was somebody called Carl Weschke. And his work was picked up by somebody called Phil Rutter, who still lives today. He has been developing them at his farm down near Lanesboro in southeast Minnesota. So about a decade ago, actually in 2006, the University of Minnesota, in collaboration with the University of Wisconsin and some folks in Iowa as well, started going around to all these farms that a lot of people had bought hazelnuts from Phil Rutter, and they had bought seedlings. The thing about seedlings is that each seedling is genetically unique. So what it meant was that all these hazelnut plantings, hybrid hazelnut plantings on farms, presented a plant breeder's paradise in terms of a lot of genetic diversity and ability to select for plants that had the characteristics that we need for a commercially viable crop. The nature of seedlings is, as I said, genetic diversity. Many of you have probably heard that apples won't breed true. So you can take the seeds out of a Honeycrisp apple and plant them and grow an apple tree, but it won't be a Honeycrisp apple tree. Half of its genes will come from Honeycrisp and half of its genes will come from whatever other apple tree pollinated that particular seed. The seeds that come off one apple tree might have gotten their pollen from a whole bunch of other different apple trees, and consequently they will be as diverse as a litter of feral kittens. Some of them will be great, and some of them will be not so great at all. Most will be mediocre. So that's the way it was on these farms where we went and found these hazelnuts growing. By and large, the farms did not have bushes that were productive enough to make a viable crop, but there were still a few plants on those farms that were outstanding. And so we tried to identify those plants, and we propagated them vegetatively by a method that it's not grafting, but analogous to grafting, so that we'd get genetically uniform plants. And we put them in replicated trials, because it's only when you put things in replicated trials that you can know whether the cause of their excellence is due to genetics or it's due to growing conditions. With uniform growing conditions, we had three genetically identical plants each at each of five trials, and the trials were uniform within the trial but diverse between the trials. So at the end of about 8 years of looking at these plants, we started to see clear patterns of which ones were best and which ones weren't. The stage we're at right now is a stage of being ready to disseminate those best plants to people out on farms, because we want to test them in more different environments just to verify that they really, really are as good as we think they are. Depending on how many you count, we've got, depending on actually our big bottleneck, which is ability to propagate them, because unlike apples, we can't graft them. So far, we've been using a method called mound layering, which is, it's actually an ancient technique. It involves getting stems from the ground. So hazelnuts are multi-stemmed bushes. So if you cut them down, that's a process called coppicing, and pile sawdust over them, you'd have to do a few other things to these stems that are emerging from the ground in response to being coppiced. Pile sawdust over these new stems. They will grow roots into the sawdust, and then you can take each stem as a new plant. So we've been doing that to try and get more plants. It's a very slow process because each plant that we start with can only produce from 5 to 10 or maybe 15 or 20 new stems, because each mother plant can only produce a limited number, and the mother plant has to be, 4, 5, 6 years old before we can do that process to it. Obviously, we're not going to multiply them very quickly. So although our research has been built on that method, there's another method called micropropagation, which involves taking a very, very small segment of young, succulent, green tissue and putting it on a sterile petri dish and giving it all the hormones and the nutrients it needs to survive, growing it in ideal conditions, and the cells multiply and produce new little plantlets. The only problem is that hazelnuts don't like the process very well. So we've been trying to propagate them and having a lot of frustration in getting the system to work, but we think we're finally going to have some plants. And initially we'll probably have about 2 or 3 selections, but in a couple of years, we think we'll have many more selections.
Cool. Yeah, we are talking with Lois Brown, research scientist with the University of Minnesota. This has been a big process.
It has been a long time coming.
You know, there's just a lot to this and trying to get them to grow and propagate. What kind of habitat do these new hazelnuts require?
What we've observed, and, you know, given that we've grown them in a limited number of places so far, what we've observed is that in the wild populations, in the upper Midwest seem to be most abundant in the piney woods of central into northern Minnesota and Wisconsin. However, we've heard a lot of reports of abundant hazelnuts further south in the more loamy and heavier soils. So we're not sure whether the distribution in central Minnesota is simply because agriculture has not ripped them out in central Minnesota, or whether it's because they're more adapted to those sandy, less nutrient-rich soils. It could be some of both, but what we do know is that we see abundant hazelnuts on sandy soils, but observations are that they actually grow better, grow faster, grow bigger if they are on richer soils that retain moisture.
We have American hazelnuts around our place, and you know, when I think about harvesting them, it's a race between me and the chipmunks and the mice, and then there are little worms that can get in them. How do people that are growing hazelnuts, you know, these big, nice hazelnuts, are they going to have those same kind of issues?
Yes, but when it's your crop, you're more focused on it.
Yeah.
And yes, lots of people tell me that they only find wormy ones. The explanation for that is that squirrels and mice have an acute sense of smell, and they know when those nuts are almost ready, and they are out there all the time, but we're not. So the squirrels and the mice and the blue jays and the crows and the turkeys and probably raccoons and bears get those nuts before we do. And they can also distinguish between the ones that have worms and the ones that don't. So they leave the ones that have worms behind so that when we get there, we get the impression that they all have worms, whereas initially they didn't all have worms.
I also imagine that switching from, say, row crops to a perennial crop like the hazelnut would be good for the soil. What are the environmental considerations of growing hazelnuts?
That, in fact, is a large part of our impetus. They are obviously perennials, and so they're long-lived perennials. We don't actually know how long they will live, but our speculation is about 50 years. So that means they don't have to be replanted every year. And one of the most destructive aspects of agriculture is simply tillage. If you look around at native environments, they are not plowed every year. Especially not our forest, but our prairies weren't plowed every year either, and neither were our savannas. So what happens is those root systems in the ground, they are constantly pumping atmospheric carbon into the ground. When those roots die, and the whole plant doesn't have to die in order for a few roots to die. It's kind of like, you know, above ground, leaves die, branches die, and the same thing happens below ground. That carbon is food for a whole complicated ecosystem of other organisms, fungi, bacteria, insects that eat the fungi and bacteria. All together, they build soil organic matter, and soil organic matter is what makes a good, healthy soil with good tilth. And also they suppress diseases. Perennial ecosystems, if you look out at the natural forest, they survive pretty well without us. The roots also hold the soil, protect the soil against soil erosion, which in turn, not only is it good for the soil, but it's also good for our waters because we don't have soil or soil nutrients leaching into our waters or running off into our waters, making muddy waters like you see in so much of southeast Minnesota. The rivers run brown, in southwest Minnesota as well. The rivers run brown, they're contaminated with nitrates. So as best we can tell, hazelnuts have root systems that really suck up the nitrates and keep them out of our water system. I do say the best we can tell because we have not done direct research with our hazelnuts, so we're basing this on research done with other plants. Eventually, we hope to be able to do that research, but there's only so much research we can do at one time. Mm-hmm. What I can tell you, though, is that very early on in my research, I was involved in digging up a mature hazelnut bush at Phil Rutter's farm, and we went down 9.5 feet before the roots ended. In fact, there was still one little root that we were tracing down further, but we we were getting tired digging, and so we declared the bush to be the winner on that one.
So growers who are thinking of getting into growing hazelnuts will be doing something that's pretty new. So what's going to happen at this meeting?
Well, I will go into a little bit more detail about what I just stated, and also a little bit more about what is involved in growing them. For example, how do you get ahead of those squirrels and the blue jays? How are they harvested? How are they dried? How are they marketed? What kind of weed control and fertilization do they need? And where can you get the plants? How many plants? Right. Things like that. We'll go into those kinds of details and gauge how much interest there is. Because our ultimate, actually I should say our proximate goal is to develop networks of growers. We've been calling them clusters, locally based clusters of growers who can learn from each other as they start this new venture. We don't recommend that anybody go out and plant 10 acres of hazelnuts without having gotten their feet wet by planting just a few to start with, to see if it really is a crop that they are interested in. But with any new crop, you need to develop infrastructure to deal with them. And hazelnuts, because they are a nut that grow in a shell, they have some processing requirements. So a lot of people ask me, well, what about pick your own? And my answer is they're easy to pick, but they're not so easy to shell. So pick your own is probably not going to take off unless you also have an on-farm processing facility where people could take the nuts they've just picked and process them. But actually, there are some significant barriers that would make that probably not so feasible. The equipment costs could be rather high initially, but they could be a lot more doable if growers work together. So, for example, to develop a processing facility within their region so they don't have to travel a long distance. And, you know, the model for this is the local creamery that growers belonged to and could take their milk to. So those are the kinds of things we will discuss at this meeting.
As a hazelnut lover, I wish you every success, and also the farmers, because, you know, this is a challenging time to be in farming, and there are always some risks, but also some rewards in trying something new. So good luck with your meeting.
Well, thank you very much.
That is Lois Brown, research scientist with the University of Minnesota. The Hazelnut Meeting is Tuesday, February 25th from 1 to 4 p.m. at Central Lakes College in Brainerd. And if you'd like to attend, you'll need to RSVP. Go to mnhazelnuts.eventbrite.com. And if you can't remember that, you can call us at Northern Community Radio, 800-662-5799. You are listening to Local Foods on Northern Community Radio, connecting you to nuts.